This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Orange Ribbon, Joy 94.9's multicultural programme. The Orange Ribbon is the symbol used across Australia to represent multiculturalism, anti-racism and international understanding. At Joy 94.9, Orange Ribbon represents peace and understanding in a multicultural GLBTIQ community. If you have any comments on the programme or to ask questions, you can SMS to 0427 Joy 949 or email onair at joy.org.au.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9. Today with Mark, Sam and Leo. Today we're talking to CJ. He will talk about growing up in Melbourne in a Malaysian family that had just immigrated to Australia. What it's like to be a gay Asian teen in such a close-knit family. As usual, another interesting chat coming up here in Orange Ribbon today. So please stay with us for the next hour on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, and you're listening to Orange Ribbon today. Today on the show, we've got Sam and Mark, and Hugh's doing the panelling, and we're talking to CJ.
So CJ, thanks for coming on today.
No worries.
So tell us a bit about your heritage. So whereabouts is your heritage from?
Okay, so my parents come from Malaysia. My mum was born in Ipoh, which is fantastic food, but it's not that big a city, so it's not much to do. My dad's from KL, and they immigrated here in 1990, just here before I was born.
So what made them want to come to Australia?
Well, because a lot of our family migrated from Malaysia to Melbourne as well. And also, Malaysia doesn't really have the best, I don't know how to say this, like health services and also a lot of social services. And the education is good, but they didn't quite like the way the universities were run.
Because I remember you mentioned that there was like a hospital that you'd seen, and it was quite dirty, and it didn't really compare.
Their private hospitals are not even close to the public hospitals we have here, and their public hospitals, I wouldn't even want to go to.
So it's quite that's fair enough. So you said that your dad's sister came as well.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
So is she the one that came first, or?
Yep, her and her family. She has about six children, and they all live within like 10 minutes drive of us.
Oh, cool! That's pretty good. At least you got some family here as well. Yeah. That makes it easier.
It's good.
Cool. So did they sort of consciously decide to move here before having a family and having yourself, or did you have brothers and sisters?
I have two brothers. They had me here, but the other two were in Malaysia.
Okay. Cool. So how old are the brothers? Are they much older than you? Or?
One is 23 and one is 22. I almost forgot the ages just then. The oldest one is autistic, which is part of the reason why they came here.
Yep. And so were they... So how long they lived in Malaysia before they moved over?
Their entire lives. My dad did study overseas in London for a few years.
Okay, cool. And you've been born and brought up here. Were you brought up with sort of a Malaysian culture or an Aussie culture or a mix of both? And
mostly Malaysian. Most of my relatives were Malaysian and our family friends. I sort of immersed myself in the Aussie culture by my own choice. Because it was harder to like mix in with people at school if you didn't really have that.
So what sort of school is it you went to here?
I went to Cumlah Rise Primary School and Glen Waverley Secondary, which has quite a high percentage of international students.
Okay. So was it sort of all the Malaysians stuck together in school and all the different sort of cultures sort of hung out together?
Or? A lot of international students like stuck together. They just spoke their languages with each other. Their English didn't really improve much, so they didn't really mix with us much. I mix with mostly Caucasian people and Indians, surprisingly.
That's cool. So when you were in school, did you speak your home language, or what did you do? Did you like speak English a lot, or did you like to speak kind of your...
From primary school, I spoke exclusively English.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. So it probably made it a bit easier to kind of settle down. That's cool. And you said you had a bad experience in Chinese school?
Yeah, I was... ahead a few years, and the teacher sort of expected me to be a bit more mature than I was. And there was too much pressure, and I just broke down, I think. It made me cry, so I sort of...
So it was just too much pressure to take, and you decided to just stop going?
It sounds really childish now, and I sort of regret not going back.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever thought, about going back into that? Or
I have, but I'm a pretty lazy guy.
So what do you mean by Chinese school?
Oh, it's just a school where you go, like, on the weekends to learn Chinese.
Okay. So you didn't learn that at home? You sort of went to school to learn that?
My parents spoke Cantonese to me, but I went to Chinese school to learn Mandarin.
Okay. Cool. And so what, they just expected you to know more about it, or just because you were older?
Because in Malaysia, everybody pretty much learns Mandarin and Cantonese and English and Malay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you're kind of expected to kind of know these things.
And if I go back now, I can't speak to anyone, and you instantly know I'm a foreigner.
So maybe one day you'd want to do that, and then you could always go back again.
Maybe, but I would never, ever live in Malaysia. No offense.
That's cool.
So how long were you studying in the Chinese school?
Probably till grade 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool. And so what do your parents do? So what kind of thing
do they do? Dad's a network administrator at an IT company. Mm-hmm. So they sell, like, technological stuff. My mum's a stay-at-home mum. Yeah.
Right, cool. And so how have they found moving over here?
My dad already knew some English because he studied in England. My mum found the transition quite hard because she didn't speak much English at all. But she's picked up over the years. She still says really weird things. Like, instead of academy, she goes academy. And it's like, I just find it really weird. Her grammar's not great, but she can communicate quite well.
Yeah. Do you think it's because she's always stayed at home, so she's found it harder to settle down?
I suppose so. She does mix around with a lot of people. She joins a lot of, like, craft groups and cooking groups and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's quite good.
Yeah. So is she mixing sort of... It must be quite hard to sort of come over if you're not working to sort of get a social network. So is that where she sort of struggled?
My auntie, my dad's sister, she was part of the church. So she sort of networked through there and others, just neighbours and stuff.
Yeah.
So are your parents quite religious or are they...
No, we're actually atheists. Okay. Well, I'm agnostic, but my parents are atheists. My mum claims she's Buddhist, but she doesn't know anything about it.
That's cool. Have you ever come out to your parents or anything like that? Or?
I haven't, and I regret doing it. But if I did come out while I was living at home, I think it'd be a lot harder for me to move around as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'd be constantly questioning me and asking where I'm going, who I'm meeting, you know, that sort of thing.
They don't do that as you are now?
They do. They actually think I have, like, 12 girlfriends or something.
So what's it like at school at the moment? So did you, when you were going backwards in, like, year 9, 10, 11, yep. What kind of thing happened there? So
When I realised, not much, actually. I wasn't really interested in a relationship or guys, really. Like, I found them attractive, but it's not like I would do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just a few crushes and stuff.
I talked to them, and then I realised how, you know... uninteresting they were.
Yeah.
Not quite boring, just not my...
So you'd pick them for looks and you'd be like, oh, actually, you're not as great as I thought you were in my...
Yeah.
So is that how you know Sam then?
Burn.
Okay, so we'll come back to you after this song.
Joy 94.9, this is Orange Ribbon. You're with Sam and Mark today with our guest CJ from Malaysian background. So CJ, we were talking about your schooling and what you were doing at school. So how was that going?
I'm currently studying commerce law at Monash in the second year.
Mm-hmm.
Out of a 5-year degree, I'm sort of regretting doing it.
5-year degree.
It's quite long.
You're not even like halfway through yet, then.
I know. I feel like dropping out already.
It's a lot of commitment.
It is. And law's not the most interesting subject.
So it's a lot of information to look at. Yeah. And,
why choose that, then?
Well, because it sounded impressive. You know, when you tell people I do law, people are like, oh, wow, you're smart, you know?
So it's more for, like, the title.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, finance jobs because I'm thinking about moving to finance.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So at school you were saying that previously in the past that you you were kind of spying on a few people and just being quiet and sitting
spying?
Back.
Spying? I don't like that term.
Just admiring people.
Yes.
And so did you do anything? Did you ever act on that or what kind of happened there?
No, I just sort of talked to them a bit and then I found that they weren't attractive personality-wise, so I didn't pursue anything.
So cool. What sort of age did you start sort of be feeling attracted to guys?
So I realised I was gay in year 9, so I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
I might have realised a bit before, but subconsciously sort of blocked it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not really it wasn't the best experience for me realising that I was gay. I was quite sad at the start, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was depressed because it'd be hard for me to fit in. And I didn't really fit in school very well either. Like, we sort of had a group of friends who were a bit of misfits.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And so you sort of had that sort of feeling. Were you aware of other gay kids in school? Or?
No one actually came out in my year at school that I remember.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but if a lot of my friends tell me that if you went to like Melbourne High or something, which is an all boys school, a lot of guys came out and like
they're more comfortable.
Sort of feel, yeah. It's a different environment.
So do you think that it's because of the fact that you've kind of grown up in that close knit, I suppose, Malaysian background from your family that's kind of given you the feeling that it's not going to be too accepting?
Yeah, a lot of my relatives still ask me, when am I going to get a girlfriend, settle down? I think my grandmother asked me when I was about nine. So asked me at nine, when are you going to get married and have kids? You know, I want great grandkids.
So you've got that pressure on your shoulders.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember when I told my mum, she said to me, oh, I'm not going to have any grandchildren. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. So it's that kind of thing.
Yeah. So how did you sort of realise that you're gay, and then sort of did you accept that in yourself fairly easily, or...?
It took a bit of time, but I suppose you can't really change it. I don't really want to live a lie or just force myself to... I do find some girls attractive, but I don't think I could ever settle down with them in the long run.
That's fair enough. Mm-hmm.
And so at the age of 15, you sort of realised, okay, yes, I'm definitely gay. Did you tell anyone about that?
No, I didn't. I guess it's because of my cultural stuff, and I also didn't really feel comfortable with telling a lot of people. I remember my best friend said that he didn't mind gay people, but she didn't want them like making out in front of him. And I didn't really want to tell him, but I did tell him eventually, and he's completely fine with it.
Yeah. That was just like a passing comment. No, that's cool. So I think one of the questions I had as well was like, when you went back to, you said you've been back to Malaysia a few times.
Yep.
So when did you first go back?
When I first went back, or in primary school, probably when it was nine or something. Earlier.
So like 8 or 9 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And how did you find it? Was it very different or interesting, or what did you?
It was interesting, not being able to understand anybody. the food is really, really good. The streets are very dirty though. The night markets were fantastic.
So where when you say you went back, whereabouts did you go back to?
Oh, I went to Ipoh, which is my mum's hometown. Mm-hmm. I also went to Seremban and KL, did a bit of shopping.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And when you went back, did you see lots of family, or did you not have that much family connections yet?
Surely aunties everywhere.
Typical Asian families.
Yeah.
Massive amount of aunties.
So it was fun kind of meeting all of them.
For the first time, I've been related to them for my whole life, and I only met them maybe once. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So were you sort of handed around from auntie to auntie?
Yeah, yeah. And they just sort of blur into one and just call everyone auntie now. And I'm probably right.
So what did you think about the differences, or did you not really take it in that much when you were that young? Or
I didn't. I probably thought I was still in Australia because I slept on the plane.
Yeah. So you just arrived there and you're just like, oh, hello, all these people.
It was ridiculously humid though. I remember sweating and taking showers 4 times a day.
So do your family go back regularly?
Every 1 or 2 years. We might be going back start of next year.
Oh, interesting. Yes. So have you been back like recently in the last...
Yep. Last time I went back was in 2007.
Mm-hmm. Did you still have that language barrier problem? Is it getting worse?
It was a bit better. I guess once you live there for a few weeks, your skills improve dramatically. When you come back, they just drop back to nothing.
And so when you're in sort of KL, did you sort of experience any of the gay scene there, or
I wasn't 18 when I went back.
All right.
And that held you back. Oh, that's a shame. And so did you do any shopping or any like just exploring or sightseeing?
Yeah, a lot of shopping. I went to Times Square, which really stood out in my mind because it had a theme park inside the shopping center.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I also went to my first casino in the Genting Highlands, which also had a theme park attached to it.
Cool. And when you went back there, was there a lot of differences? Because I've never actually been to Malaysia, so I'm just thinking compared to Australia, what were you thinking? Were you like, oh, all the people are very different, or
the taxis are a lot cheaper?
That's probably a good thing. That's good value.
People, I sort of didn't really meet many people. Just the shop assistants, and they sort of try to please you as much as possible.
Yeah, so they're very good service and very friendly.
Yep. They didn't really understand English much, except in KL.
Mm-hmm. So have you found growing up within the family that you're in, is it less accepted when you come to meeting new people, or do you have any problems with coming from that background?
I guess since I meet so many relatives all the time, I'm not really that shy when it comes to people.
Oh, cool.
So do you get sort of relatives appearing out of the woodwork all the time then, is it?
Yeah, we literally get like 4 or 5 relatives staying with us in the year. I think there's an auntie staying with us now, and another one coming in 2 weeks, and then another one in like another month. It's ridiculous.
So going back to
privacy.
Going back to your sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was just gonna say. So do every time a new auntie comes, do you get the same question? So where's your girlfriend?
Yes, actually, and they recently she asked me if I was going to sleep over my aunt, like my girlfriend's house. Uh-huh. And she sort of said it in a way implying, you know, other things. But
do you need anything extra?
So you're at uni now. Have you told many of your uni friends about your... Yeah. And how do they... What did they say? Were they surprised or did they already...
A few were surprised. A few of them actually thought I was straight, which is weird because I don't think I'm very straight acting.
So they had no clue.
No. One guessed, but I think she's a lot of gay friends.
Yeah. And have you done anything about that now? Have you been kind of going out to the scene or in the
community?
I've
been to a few gay clubs. My first one was about a month ago.
Mm-hmm. And how did you find it?
I went to the Peel, which the music wasn't the best. I heard good music, but it wasn't as packed as I'd like.
It's cool. So comparing the gay clubs to the straight clubs, what did you think the difference as well? Was it very different?
I was less inhibited at the gay clubs. Yeah. I danced a bit more freely.
Yeah, so you're more relaxed.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So,
did you?
Why were you? So are you saying you're inhibited when you go to a straight club?
What? A little bit.
Why is that?
I suppose I'm a bit afraid of people judging me by the way I dance. I'm not a good dancer, so
trust me, they'll judge you more in a gay club than a straight club for that.
And did you get a lot of attention in the gay clubs compared to the straight clubs, or?
It was pretty dark. I don't know. A lot of people. I didn't get picked up.
No. Yeah.
So cool. Who did you go to the club with?
I mean, I just went with some friends.
Yeah. So as your first experience, like, were you nervous about going to the club or excited or mixed emotions?
A little bit excited just to see, just try something different. Yeah.
So these friends you went with, were they gay or?
Yeah, yeah. They were. And we danced pretty dirty.
So you did probably get a lot of looks. So that's the good attention. So would you go gay clubbing again? Like, was it something you think you'd do again? Or was it just more for the fun of going for the first time?
I would go again, but I'm not a very big clubber. I prefer bars more.
That's cool.
The friends you went with, were they sort of encouraging you to go to the gay club? Were they saying, come on, you need to go and experience
you try it
the
out.
Nightlife of Melbourne?
Yeah, they go gay clubbing quite often. Mm-hmm. They love it. I don't really see why.
So do you find it? Did you find it was a bit different being like gay and Asian in the nightclubs, or did you find there was any kind of or not racism or not, you know? Because I know there's a bit of that out there.
Well, I've never been white, so I couldn't really tell.
But did you get any negativity from anyone or any kind of negative
experience? I don't think I've experienced racism in my life.
Really?
Yeah,
that's really good. That's really good.
Or maybe I'm just like very clueless.
Yeah. So you've obviously been out in the gay club scene now. You've sort of more out in your social life and your uni life. How about your family life?
They still don't know, and I don't know if I can tell them until I move out. I don't think I do anything different at home.
Is it the sort of thing that do you think they might have an idea that you are?
My mum might know, and right. I'm pretty sure she'd be completely comfortable with it. My dad, maybe not so much. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's cool. So have you ever thought about coming out like in the near future, or is it something you're going to wait and just say, well, look, I'm going to move out first and then maybe we'll think about it?
I'll tell them when I move out. I'm not sure when that'll be. Maybe next year, which would be good.
So do you get all your laundry and cooking and everything done at home?
Is it, yes, is it
something,
yes.
So it's quite comfortable?
Okay, well, thanks for giving us that information. So this is Joy 94.9 and Orange Ribbon, and you're talking to CJ.
For the world, Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Mark and Sam, and we're talking to CJ.
So CJ, tell us a bit about the music you're playing today. What track was that?
That was Movie Star by Rosian Murphy. Mm-hmm. The first track I played was Paramore, which I saw on Wednesday.
Oh, cool.
Absolutely amazing. The second track was Funeral for a Friend, which is dedicated to my friend Amanda.
Oh, cool.
I wanted me to say that.
So with the music you pick, what kind of music are you generally into? Is that generally the kind of type of music you like?
Yeah, a lot of alternative rock, a bit of metal and screamo sometimes.
Oh, cool. So quite out there with the music taste. So it's probably very different from when you went clubbing then.
I don't mind the dance or poppy stuff. I just don't listen to it at home.
So it just depends on what mood you're in, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's cool.
So need to find some club that plays more of that sort of music to go to.
It's not that easy to dance to that sort of music, but it's more moshy music.
Yeah, just pogoing everywhere, yeah.
So before we closed last time, you were talking about your family and where they're from. So you said your father went to the UK, did you? So what was he doing there? Was he just working?
He was just studying electronics.
Oh, cool.
I think. Not very clear about his past.
And was he there for a long time or?
Just probably 3 years, I think.
That's cool. And so you said your mum was a stay-at-home mum. So tell us a little about your mum at the moment. What's she doing at the moment?
Right now.
So she's still staying at home?
And she is. She's actually recovering from a surgery she had recently. She was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic cancer recently, which she had 2 or 3 years ago, but it sort of resurfaced recently.
Mm-hmm. So she's just recovering from the operation now. Yep. Is she feeling a bit better, like, after the operation? How's that going?
She's feeling a lot better. She's having a bit of issues, and also, like, her veins are quite small, so the nurses have a lot of issues finding the veins.
Yeah. That's cool. And so recently, have you found that you've been a lot closer to her because of that? Like, you've been trying to talk to her more? And
yeah, the prognosis isn't very good, so I've been trying to spend as much time with her as possible.
Mm-hmm. And has that changed your outlook on coming out at all, just in...
It has. I definitely want to tell her before it gets too late, obviously. I would really regret not letting her know.
That's right. And you said about your brother as well. He does have autism. So tell us a little about that, like, for the listener out there who might not know exactly what that means.
Yep. So he has a lot of learning difficulties, and he has difficulty interacting with other people. He's high functioning, but not very high functioning. So he can't hold down a full-time job. He gets frustrated very easily.
So what do you mean by high functioning?
So he's actually currently working in a library right now, and he has a lot of more social skills and intelligence than perhaps other mentally disabled or people, but he can't quite function in society by himself.
Okay, so he's sort of independent-ish, but...
So he can hold down a job and do things like that, but it's just at home. He gets looked after more. That's
and
cool.
He finds a lot of other autistic people and people with Asperger's quite... He's not very tolerant of them.
Yeah, so he finds it hard to understand, like, why you're different or not the same.
How did that impact sort of your growing up sort of thing, having your brother with the sort of that difficulty?
Well, I didn't get as much attention as I wanted. There was a lot of family difficulties. Like, my dad got quite frustrated easily, and my mum got upset easily too. So we had a lot of fights. But I don't think much more from the norm, just focused around him.
I'm the same.
That's for other reasons, Sam.
Yeah, I know. It's because I'm a bad person.
So is he sort of, did he have to go to sort of a special school or get any assistance and that sort of thing?
Yep. He went to a special school for a few years, and then he went to TAFE, did a course there. I can't quite remember what. It was also part of the reason why we came to Australia, because there's not much support in Malaysia for autistic people. He gets put through a special work program here where he learns work skills and he gets set up with jobs and stuff.
Right.
So you think he had a lot more of a future, I suppose, coming to Melbourne. That's probably been quite good for him.
For sure.
Family. That's really cool.
And so you were saying in Malaysia that one of the reasons you came over for that is, so in Malaysia, what sort of support would the family have had?
Basically, all they get is money. Right. Apart from that, nothing. And I know a relative who has another autistic son who is much less high functioning. They get couple hundred dollars a month, but they have to send him to a special school, which costs several thousand dollars a month, so it's not really much.
That's quite hard. And you said that you actually were in a choir, and so tell us a little about that.
Yes, I was in the National Boys Choir in primary school. I went overseas. I was in the Qantas Ads, I think the second one.
That's really cool. So that must have been very exciting.
It was. I was out of my mind with excitement as a kid. I was jumping up and down when they told me.
Okay, so how old were you when you were picked for that?
I was in grade 6, so 12.
Oh, cool. And whereabouts did that take you?
I went to Africa and India and New Zealand, and also Uluru, which is quite cool.
All right. So when you said you went there, what was that, to perform in concerts or for the adverts themselves?
Just for the adverts. They'd film us in cool locations like Taj Mahal.
Wow.
Yeah. So you got to see some really cool sights, and I suppose that would have been nice.
The highlight of the trip was probably in Africa when we went to this a volcano that had collapsed into a massive crater.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's really exciting. So
How did you get that gig then? How did you get into that?
Well, I'm not a very good singer. I think they just picked me just to ethnically balance out the ad.
Yeah. So were you in a school choir, or did you have to audition?
They actually went around to schools trying to find kids.
Okay.
And they picked me. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about going back on holiday to any places like that, or did that kind of make you feel that you wanted to?
Probably not there. I really want to go to Europe and America.
Oh, cool.
Should be good, but I'm not very good at saving money.
So just maybe try and start up the singing career again. Yeah, Qantas, would you take me to Europe? That kind of thing.
So didn't you carry on your singing career after doing that then?
No, if I sing right now, your ears might bleed. It's not really.
It's alright, almost.
So was this before your voice broke then, is it?
Yep. After your voice breaks, they sort of tend to shift you to another choir.
Then they kick you out and replace you.
It's really exciting.
You went to Africa and as part of that. So what were you doing in Africa? How long were you there?
I think it was only about a week or two. We went to a plane to film. We also visited this village, which was made completely out of straw and shit, basically. Just packed together.
Yeah, yeah.
They also had the ear stretchers, which was quite cool. The first time I saw them.
Cool. That's cool. Awesome. All right, so you're listening to Joy 94.9 and the Orange Ribbon Show with Sam and Mark, and we're talking to CJ.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, Orange Ribbon, and you're listening to Sam and Mark, and we've got CJ in the studio today with us. Before that song, we were just talking a bit about your whirlwind trip around the world with Qantas. Just tell us a bit more about that. So how long were you away in total for that?
Probably for a few weeks every trip. We went about four trips.
Wow, four trips. So how long a period was that over? A year or?
It was over, I think, 6 months. So wow.
So how did you get out of school for all this?
It's primary school, who cares?
So you pretty much just went off and you were like, I'm going to go have some fun, bye.
The teachers didn't care. So.
Yeah. Were a lot of the students jealous, like when they heard about this, about you going to all these different places?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think I also got a video, which I've lost, ooh, but of the trip and the making of the...
It must be on YouTube somewhere.
So we'll find that and we'll put it on our page for everyone to see later on.
Please don't.
So were you the only one from your school that did that? Or was chosen from your school or was there others?
I think there were a few boys chosen from my school to go to the choir, but only me from my school who got to the trip.
All right.
Yeah. Ah, cool. Okay. So there was an actual choir and then the kind of picked a few just to go onto the trips,
yep,
and things.
Yep. Yeah.
So you said you went to Africa. So what was that like for you kind of landing in Africa as a 12-year-old boy? What was the experience?
It was really dusty and country-ish. Yeah. It was really hot in the afternoons as well and really cold at night.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it was actually kind of a different weather. You were finding that a bit strange as well.
Yeah.
Because you come from Malaysia, which was like, I suppose, very humid to Melbourne. So.
Yeah. And your sort of, when you land there, I mean, were you there with, did your mother come along or anything like that? Or was...
No, it was just the choir directors and other kids from the choir.
So how did you feel like at 12 years old, you're leaving your family, flying to Africa, and then you're sort of singing in some village in Africa somewhere.
I won't lie, I remember crying from homesickness. I'm portraying myself as a crybaby here, which I'm not really. But.
We can accept that. When you're 12 years old, that's
yeah, not, it would have been a bit traumatic.
Too bad, yeah. So did they look after you quite well with that sort of thing?
They did. I don't really remember much of the trip, but we stayed in quite nice accommodation. It was like a lodge sitting on the edge of the crater, so when you wake up in the morning, cool, you can see all the mist just sinking into the crater.
That's a really cool experience though.
Yeah.
And you said you went to India as well, so when you were landing there, was it very different from going from Africa going to India? What was that like?
It was certainly different. It was really like hustle and bustle, a lot of people everywhere.
So it was very busy.
Do you recall where in India it was you went?
We went to the Taj Mahal.
Oh, cool.
So that was quite good. By bus, actually, which wasn't a good experience. I remember throwing up a few times.
Was it a bit scary on the bus?
There were
traffic
people banging on the doors trying to sell us stuff.
Really?
Yeah, just like all this shit I didn't really want.
And you were just like, oh, okay. So obviously you were quite famous there. You know, you're coming off a plane. They're probably thinking, oh, this guy's got some money. This 12-year-old's famous.
It's just a tourist thing.
So would they just... Were you just there to do the advert? Or would you get time to sort of...
We didn't get much sightseeing. Well. It was just there and back, basically.
So you turn up, they just film you doing your song, and then off you went again.
Yeah, pretty much. We did get to go inside the Taj Mahal, though.
Yeah,
which is good.
Cool. So you got pictures of yourself sat outside and stuff like that.
I have a poster of me in front of the Taj Mahal, I think.
Yeah,
which is quite good.
So was your mum very excited by all this? I suppose your family is sitting at home thinking, oh, my son's going away all the time. You know, were they scared or?
They made me send postcards, which arrived after I got back.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So how about all the rest of the family? Were they like sort of all proud
they were jealous.
Their cousin or their nephew or whatever has been on TV? And
they kept watching the ads trying to like find me.
They're like, oh, there he is. That's pretty exciting.
And they kept asking me to sing the song, which is quite embarrassing.
That's pretty cool.
So could you do that now?
No.
Well, thanks a lot. It's very interesting. So This is Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Mark and Sam, and we're talking to CJ.
Joy 94.9, you're speaking to Mark, Sam and Hugh. Sorry, not speaking to, listening to. And we're talking to CJ today.
So CJ, we were talking about the few things before. So I think coming down to a bit of a close, you've been out on the scene for a few months now. Have your priorities changed now that you have a better understanding of it?
I suppose I'm looking more, I used to be looking for more just learning, trying to see what I wanted. I sort of figured out what I wanted since then. I'm just looking for like good friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's
so you're just trying to expand, I suppose, your friend circle and then learn a bit more about everyone and meet new people.
Mm.
That's cool.
And sort of with your sort of social scene now, is it sort of, are your friends all gay or straight, a mix, or
is it changing?
Yeah.
It is changing. I'm getting more gay friends, but I'm still predominantly straight friends. They're just the friends I've had from high school and stuff.
And how are they sort of, how has your relationship with them changed over that, over the time?
It hasn't changed much, really. I suppose they, since most of them don't have many other gay friends, uh-huh. they're really interested in like the other side of the fence, basically.
Right. So they're just kind of like spying, going, oh, so what's it like? what's different?
They surprise me sometimes, like just what they want.
So they're interested.
Yeah.
Such as?
Inappropriate.
can't be spoken on air.
That's right. So you've probably got a few friends, maybe they're looking towards you for a bit of advice and guidance. So because you're saying they're asking you a few questions, you might be thinking, well, oh, why are you asking me that? So you think that it's probably...
Maybe, or I don't know, they're just interested because I'm an interesting person. Like
that's that. True. Yeah. That's true. So you said that you kind of came out to a few high school friends in that period of time. Is it, has anything changed? Has any of them kind of gone, oh, now CJ's changing. He's, you know, is, they don't like that, or?
I think they were surprised, but they're still really good friends and I still hang out with them heaps. Mm-hmm. So it's changed.
And do they sort of see you changing at all? Have they commented on that you've become a different person or? Changed
a little bit. I don't see it myself though. I still think I'm the same person.
Do you think you were more shy before and that you've become more confident?
I was definitely more shy in high school,
yeah,
but since uni, just so many people meeting new people. Just, mm-hmm.
So what's your plan now for uni and moving forward?
Oh, exams are in a couple of weeks, so a bit of hermit mode.
So you should be studying right now, shouldn't you?
We'll make sure you get straight back to study, don't worry about that.
And so with you potentially going back to Malaysia, yep. sort of early next year. Have you thought about maybe exploring the gay scene when you go over there?
Yeah, I have talked to a few people from Malaysia and who are going back to Malaysia, and they're willing to take me around the gay scene.
So. Oh, so you're going to have a bit of excitement there.
Hopefully.
That'd be fun. It's pretty exciting. And have you ever seen yourself living in Malaysia for a period of time? So just to get to know it and see your heritage a bit more or not?
Probably not. Mm-hmm. I could never go back there for more than a holiday.
Is it just because of the weather and you find it a bit much? Or
the weather and the language barrier, I suppose.
I suppose, yeah. That's
and
cool.
Also the cleanliness of the streets. Yeah.
But the English is... pretty good
in KL, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of tired of going around to Asian countries.
I suppose you've gone so much now with the family. I suppose it's a bit of a chore, like you have to see all the people.
And once you've flown around the world with Qantas doing singing in North Africa and stuff, yeah. I mean,
you've pretty much done everything there.
The worst thing is probably going back and having to meet every single auntie.
Yeah. So when you sort of looking to go back in the beginning of next year, how are you going to hide from your family when you go out?
Or if I go back, it will be with my family, so it's going to be hell.
So you just have to sneak away for a couple of for an evening one day.
Well, I can drive now, so maybe.
So you can escape.
Okay, well, the music started, so that's the end of the show. So thanks very much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Great show.
Very interesting story, and good luck with those exams coming up.
Yeah. So thanks very much again. You've been listening to Orange Ribbon with Mark and Sam, and we've been talking to CJ. So Orange Ribbon next week, we'll be back 2 o'clock next Saturday afternoon. More insights into our GLBTRQ community here in Australia and around the world. Thanks for Leo for paneling, and for Hugh for helping us in the background as well. And listen to you all, talk to you all again next week.
Thanks a lot. Cheers. Bye-bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.